Let's get Paisan in here. Paisan, how you doing?
How you doing today, Tony?
How you doing, man? Great talk to you.
Talk to you, buddy. Remember the first interview I ever did with you, I was standing on a piece of steel at Ground Zero, and I don't talk about a lot, but today I want to talk. And the only thing I'd ask anybody out there is that we're the greatest country in the world for a reason, and this isn't about credit, and I hope that the pundits will give us a couple of days off. I've worked close to the Bush administration up there. We cleaned that place up. And he wanted this thug as bad as anybody. For a little bit, let's be Americans. This ain't about credit. It ain't about politics. It's like right now down in Alabama, you got people with Auburn jerseys in Tuscaloosa helping those people clean up. That's what makes this country great.
You got it.
And there's one thing I remember. They asked Jennifer Schwarzkopf, the great general, right after that happened, you remember, said, do you think we could ever forgive the people that did this to him on 9/11? Remember what he said? He says that forgiving them is God's function. Our job is to simply arrange the meeting. Well, I think we arranged the meeting.
Yeah, I think the meeting was arranged. And I'll tell you something, Paisan, because I think you and I come at this thing from a similar political stripe. When you lose the ability to give somebody credit because you're caught in partisan, in a partisan trap, when you lose the ability to celebrate a day like today, I say to you, with all due respect, what is the point of living? If you're going to be that entrapped in bitterness, when George Bush, say what you want to say about him, and I think he made some mistakes after 9/11. Nobody's perfect, but I think he made some mistakes. But when he stood there, and you were up there when he did this, when he grabbed that megaphone,
I was about 20 feet from him.
And they told those, tell me what was going through your head that day when he grabbed that megaphone and said, I hear you, and soon the whole world will hear you. What was going through Paisan's head? And tell the living listener what you were doing up there. It's not familiar with this, Paisan. This side of your life.
I'd literally just gotten there that morning because we had to wait out on the GW Bridge for about, almost 26 hours. And I hadn't been in bed in 3 days. But anyway, you get down there, and after the shock of seeing what I saw, it was Secret Service said the president came in. There was workers out there who had not been home in days. It was what it was. If you've ever smelled burning bodies or seen that, then you know what I'm talking about. But people were just on pure adrenaline. When he got up and grabbed that bullhorn and said what he said, I don't know what to say. I mean, it wasn't a pep talk. It was more than that. But when he said we're going to get the people that did this, we believed him. And there's some of us that never quit believing him. And this morning I can sit here and say we were right to believe him. And that's why I say, and I'm like you, thank God for Obama for not getting a hall pass for going in there and blowing that bastard off the earth, okay? Good for him.
You better believe it. And Obama did not, I'm going to say this again because I think this is what needs to be said. He asked nobody for permission. Nobody. He didn't ask any of our allies for permission. He didn't ask. He acted, as we say, unilaterally in what he did. And you know what? That's American exceptionalism. We should have acted unilaterally. Because if anybody was going to take that bastard out of there, it was us. That's the deal.
Tony, I sat there too many mornings. You know I've had some problems with some other things, and I'm not boo-hooing, but two people that worked for me up there committed suicide within 2 years out of that job.
I believe
that. I saw those little kids every morning asking me, did you find my dad last night or stuff like that? And I'm going to tell you right now, those families in New York, you think they give a crap who gets credit right now? Do you think that those kids that were 10 years old, that are 20 years old, give a crap who did it?
Boy, that is so true.
that they've grown up without parents, sisters, mothers, you know, or the people that worked up there cleaning that up. I mean, there's a lot more to this story than what people know. But I tell you one thing, this is a great country, and I don't,
so you,
like I said, I don't talk about this a lot. But
can I ask you something now that you're talking about it?
Yeah.
You had children. I want to make sure people heard that. You had children of people who were desperately looking for daddy or mommy come up to you and say, well, did they have pictures on them, Paizan, or what?
Oh, yeah. They had pictures of their father or their parent around their neck.
And tell folks what you were doing there, because I don't think people need to understand this.
Well, you know, I work for the union. I was the director of the emergency response training for North America for the operating engineers. We operated all the heavy equipment. I was in charge of about 800 men that was moving the steel for their safety. I got there on the night of the 13th and was there until September 12th of 02. I was there right at a year, okay? And that was what we were there to make, try to get respirators on people, try to make sure it was done as safe as it could be done. It was, I could tell you, I've already gotten some press calls of that. I want to talk to people about it. You know, they can read the story about us turning a Morton Steakhouse into a morgue and putting body parts in where steaks were laying. And, you know, I can tell you a lot of things. I can tell you a lot of things, but that was what I was there for. And I'd go again today. I'm an American and I'm a proud Tennessee volunteer, but we paid a dear price to people that did it, cleaning it up as the guys did. I know a commander came in one day with Cheney, and we had our stickers. It was not in our house, is what we called it, and it had a picture of the Trade Center. And we asked Cheney to send them to Afghanistan. They sent 5,000 of those stickers and put them on bombs. So the last thing some of those Taliban people saw before they met their maker was that sticker. And but my job up there was safety, and it was a lot of other things. We did whatever we had to do.
Do you, this is kind of turning into an interview here, but it's just so interesting to talk to you with your experience there, and I think people are interested in this. Do you, having lived through that, when you heard that news last night, does it give you a sense of closure? Does it conjure up, or does it conjure up all this stuff that you thought was buried inside of you? Which one, Paizan?
I'm a little of both, Tony. You know, you're very good. I'll say this in our mail. You're very good. You're a close friend of mine, and we've talked some about other things. Last night, I was about half asleep, and I saw it, and I thought, well, I'm dreaming. I've got a problem with nightmares as it is. And then I turned stations to see the weather, and it was on again, and I yelled real loud. My son, Tony, you know Tony, he came in, and I was crying. I was sobbing uncontrollably, and he said, what's wrong, Dad? And I told him what happened. He said, you okay? And he got a little teary-eyed because he was in fifth grade when this happened. I was raising him by myself, and I remember him. I came home one weekend, and I took him to school and dropped him off. He says, Dad, don't go back up there. The kid was scared to death. He was staying with the babysitter. And me and him had our moment last night. And that was, I'm not trying to be mushy here. I'm just telling you how it happened. And we spent a year where I didn't get to see my son much. And I felt, you know, I was proud to be there, Tony. I'd be proud to go again. But no, my feelings over it is I'm just proud to be an American because there is a closure. There is a closure. And you said something earlier. It's very true. Let's call us, you know, a spade, or whatever you call it. Evil is evil. It's written in the scripture of God. There's evil. It's in Proverbs. That man and that cause is evil. As I said, you know, from the funerals, some of the lunches, I sat at the lunch with some Marine guys giving checks to widows and with the children sitting at the table. This was day after day after day. and I saw men, tough men. I'm talking about tough men that couldn't even speak. They were asked to say something. They couldn't even talk. You know, it was, I don't know what to say. I'm just very proud today to be an American, to be a Tennessean. I'm proud of what we've done. Gas has already gone down $10 a barrel. This villain, Satan himself, his grip is off our neck finally. And we couldn't, you know, we need it. This country's hurting right now. I think this is, if this isn't politically correct, then, you know, I don't really give a you know what. This was an act of God. This country needed something. Yeah. You know, we got people in Alabama right now don't even have a place to live. A lot of bad things are going on. This is an act of God. United States needs a shot in the arm right now. I hope people pull together. And I remember when you did interview me, I remember it very well. You know, I remember putting a big power T on the side of a crane the day we played Florida down there in that December game. And I remember when we played Notre Dame, I was up there. New York is a Notre Dame city, and I had all my guys out there wearing orange. And they thought they were OSHA inspectors, people in New York, because up there, if you wear orange, you're either a criminal or somebody with the government. So,
which sounds like a really good choice. Paizan, thank you.
I'll see you, Tony.